prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
I don't even know where to begin with today's show. I really don't. So, about a month and a half ago, a listener of the show, Lynn Wright, who found Olympic lifting at 60, by the way, she's rocking and rolling, and is a big fan of Brooks Cubics, follows him on Instagram. She emails me and she says, "Has Brooks Cubic gone vegan?" And I didn't even blink. I rat-a-tatted an email back to it and dismissed. No, Brooks did that a while ago. He went vegan for a year. It turned out horrible experiment. But I see a lot of pictures of vegetables on his Instagram. Oh, yeah, but he's always got a nice bloody steak somewhere in there. And I just dismissed it. I says, nah, Brooks didn't go vegan. And then on the last week's show, when Brooks was on the show, at the very end of the show, he corrected me and he said, "Well, wait, Carl, I have gone to a plant-based diet." I says, "What do you mean plant-based? I mean vegan?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Are you serious?" And he said, "I found out how to do it right." And boy, oh boy, everybody wanted to know, is Brooks really vegan? And has he unlocked the code to being a vegan and still building muscle? And I figured this was very appropriate to play his theme music as we bring him back on the show.
You're listening to Physical Culture Radio, home of dinosaur training. Now, here's the keeper of the flame of physical culture, Brooks Cubic.
How you doing, Brooks?
Hey, Carl, I'm doing great. That music's terrific. It brings back all kinds of memories.
You know, Brooks, you and I produced an amazing body of work on this show, and most of it unprepared, unscripted, last minute. I used to drive to the studio and call you, and I'd say, "Well, what are we going to talk about today?" we really are great at collaborating, that kind of stuff. I just wanted to say that, that's all.
Yeah, it works really well. You know, a lot of people, don't know what goes on with podcasts, but, you know, I've done a lot of them with different people. And some people like to just, you know, plan and script everything out. Some people, will send you questions and say, "Here, you can think about these," and, you know, or here are my questions. Write up your answers, send them back to me. And, it's like, man, that's not very spontaneous.
Well, it doesn't give. So what I learned early on, 12 years ago, mm-hmm. was my first few shows were scripted. I spent hours on the phone with the guests ahead of time. And what I found out was, because I had to do a show by myself one day because a guest didn't show up, mm-hmm. I realized that spontaneity created a lot of excitement, and that's what live radio is all about. You know, it's not canned. It's not scripted. And I dwell in live radio. Most of my competitors in podcasts are heavily edited. They cut this out. They piece that together. They make that there. They drop this in, have the sound effect. You know, no. What happens here is what goes out on the podcast. And so I learned that the best interviews came from when I was unscripted and I was able to go, wait a minute. What did you just say about that? That thing that we had no intentions of talking about today and you just mentioned something. And I want to pull on that thread for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that if you have a list of questions that you have to get through, quote, have to get through in order to deliver the information you wanted. Well, maybe the information you want to deliver is boring. Maybe the information you just passed over sticking to the script was really where the meat and potatoes was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I kind of evolved to that. So
sure.
All right. So last show, you alluded at the end, we were talking about diet and you said, "Carl, I think I discovered how to do vegan right." And I said, "We got to have you back on the show next week." And here we are. So some people have picked up on it. You, in fact, did go vegan again, right?
I did. And it happened as something that was unplanned. You know, talk about unscripted. It was unplanned. Trudy and I are wanting to in the not too distant future, you know, not next week or next month, but in the not too distant future, we want to move from Louisville to the Pacific Northwest.
Excellent choice.
And, you know, just get out and go to somewhere that really resonates with us, travel around, just have lots of fun, and, you know, really enjoy ourselves because, you know, we figure that at our age, we deserve it.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, we've been talking about this and thinking about it and, you know, planning and so on. And she said, you know, one of the real problems is going to be finding food for you. And I said, well, what do you mean? You know, there's lots of farmers markets up there. You know, we just find a place that sells, you know, grass-fed beef and free-range eggs, and, you know, I'm happy as a clam. And she said, well, we won't always be able to find that. And I know that that's very important to you, having high-quality meat and eggs and you know, really good healthy stuff. I don't think you're going to be able to do that. I also think it would be really expensive, and certainly if we're in a situation where we're having to eat meals out, it would be incredibly expensive. So, I just don't know if we can do that or not. And I said, well, you know, I can adapt, I can do whatever. And she said, no, you can't. I said, yes, I can. And she said, well, I don't think you can. But on a related note, I just want to let you know that I'm kind of bored and tired with our meals. We have the same thing all the time. And I want something different. I want different tastes, different foods, different dishes, different flavors. And I said, fine. You know, instead of rare steak, we'll do medium rare.
Peppercorn. And, no, you use peppercorns. Like, steak au poivre. You just covered it with peppercorns and a cream sauce. That's all.
Yeah. You know, and she was like, you know, no, I really want something different. And I said, okay. You want different? You want to see what I can do if we're traveling and, you know, I don't have access to grass-fed beef from my local guy here that I get it from? And I said, let's do this. Let's make it totally different. Let's try vegetarian. And she said, great. I'd love that. That'd be wonderful.
But vegetarian is different than vegan. That would include eggs, maybe even some dairy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so I threw that out, and she said, that's great. What do you want? I said, I don't know. And she said, well, find something that you like, and you cook it. I said, okay. So I fired up the old Google, and I started doing some searches, and I found this Moroccan lentil stew that sounded really good,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I looked around, and it's like, yeah, I think we've got the ingredients here, so made that for dinner, and she loved it because, number one, I cooked dinner, which was a real treat for her, and number two, it was something completely different, and so for a couple of days, we sort of played around with that, and we went to an Indian restaurant. We went to an Asian restaurant. We started looking around, went to a Mediterranean place. We started trying to find things that we liked that we had never eaten before.
But that also also had no animal protein in it.
Well, we were doing more of a vegetarian for the first week and
transitioning. Okay. You're transitioning. Yeah.
And we're finding things that we liked and we were enjoying a whole world of new flavors and new foods. And eventually I found a lot of nice vegan recipes and I said, you know, if you're really thinking it's going to be difficult to feed me, I can make it real easy. I can just do vegan. And she's like, oh, come on, there's no way. And I said, I can, watch me. And she said, okay, you do that. I'm going to stay vegetarian. And I said, okay, whatever. So we started doing that, and I started to really explore menus, and I started to explore different variations of vegan diets, and ended up going with what I think was the most, would be the most challenging vegan diet there is. And you can tell, I think I've used the word challenge several times now.
That's okay.
I enjoy challenges, and I'm curious about things, right. And I like to experiment with things. And I wanted to see what it would be like really doing some serious heavy-duty vegan. And so what I did was go on a low-fat vegan diet, basically eliminating oils and sautéing vegetables in vegetable broth, homemade vegetable broth, and really keeping the fat content down. And I was curious to see what would happen from a health perspective. There are some people who say that that's a very good diet to fight inflammation. And I thought, well, you know, at 61, doing a lot of training, if you are knocking inflammation for a loop, that's probably a good thing. So let's test it. Let's see what happens. So we did that, and this was in early August. We did it, and amazingly, because, you know, as I shared with you on a previous show, I had tried a vegan diet about 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, stayed on it for about 18 months, and it worked really, really badly. I did not like it, got bad results, and eventually went back to a carnivorous diet. But, you know, this time I was doing a lot of reading, a lot of studying. I was doing some things I hadn't done the last time around. I was taking a vitamin B12 supplement religiously. I was doing, as I said, a low-fat vegan diet with no vegetable oils. So I wasn't getting a big hit of the omega-6 in the vegetable oils. I experimented with a gluten-free vegan diet. I experimented with using soy products, tofu, and not using tofu. And I had a wide variety of foods compared to the previous time. And the other thing that I experimented with was not worrying about having a huge protein intake, but just eating, just keeping my calories up, and just seeing what happened. Working on the theory that if you try to stuff yourself with plant protein, it's not going to be really good because you can only eat so many beans, peas, legumes in one day. And,
well, but,
you know, otherwise,
but it also needs, but it needs to be stated that plant protein is far inferior to animal protein as far as digestibility, at very, very low PDAC scores on all plant proteins, including pea protein that's processed and isolated. That one is pretty competitive, pea protein. Most plant protein, whole plant proteins, are virtually undigestible by humans. And nobody likes to talk about this because even I like to go, oh, I'm getting 5 grams of protein from my broccoli, you know, along with this meal. So this meal is 65 grams instead of just 60. I shouldn't even count the vegetable protein at all.
Well, are you talking about protein powders?
No. I'm talking about if you eat a plant – broccoli, again, for instance, and it says it has 5 grams of protein in that serving. That protein is virtually unavailable to your body to use for virtually anything useful because plant proteins are the hardest to digest and assimilate for the human body. And that's why dairy proteins, which assimilate, and egg proteins, which assimilate, and beef protein, they're chosen because they're... It's not just the amino acid profile, but it's the fact that your body can actually get everything out of it that it needs to get. Plant protein is very hard to digest.
Well, here's the amazing thing. I was doing well on about 70 to 80 grams of plant-based protein a day.
Okay.
Okay, the majority of that coming from beans, peas, lentils, legumes.
Did you say cheese?
No, beans.
Peas, okay, yeah.
Lentils, legumes.
Gotcha.
I was also eating whole grains, and I was avoiding all kinds of processed food, you know, what I refer to as vegan junk food.
Right.
Certainly avoiding that, avoiding enriched flour products, white flour, anything like that. And really trying to do what people call a whole food plant-based diet.
Right, okay? Right.
And the previous time that I had done a vegan diet, I tried to keep the protein levels really high with plant-based foods, and it was just impossible.
Yeah, that'll back you up, man. That'll blow you up. Yeah.
You can't do it. So it was working surprisingly well. And I remember, you know, saying to Trudy, you know, I don't understand why this is working so well and why I feel so good when it worked so badly the last time and I felt so terrible the last time. And she said, I don't know, but this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to do this as a 30-day experiment. At the end of 30 days, I said, you know, I feel like I can do more. And, you know, just in the interest of finding out whether this really is a long-term diet that works or not, at least for me, I'm going to try a little bit longer. And it was kind of funny because, you know, this all started with Trudy's idea. She wanted something new and different. And her reaction at 30 days was sort of, are you sure?
Yeah, can't we get back to eating the way we ate before? That's funny. That's hilarious.
You know, she said, and she decided, now mind you, she was vegetarian, I was vegan. She decided that she wanted some meat once in a while anyway.
Yeah.
And so she would have meat or fish a couple times a week, and she'd have eggs a couple times a week, and cheese a couple times a week. And otherwise, she was happy with whatever. It was really funny because whatever diet I'm on, she tries to join in, and she follows it for a while, and then she feels trapped. You know, she's like...
Restricted. She starts to sense... She feels restricted, not trapped. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
like, it's almost like telling her she can't have it makes her want to have it more.
Yeah. So you know, she does a lot better being sort of a free range eater, if there's such a term. But you know, I like to, if I'm going to experiment with something, I like to make it a fair experiment. So I was being really strict. She was not being as strict, but you know, that was fine. And so we went forward, and one day, literally overnight...
Wait a minute. I think you're getting to the crescendo now, right?
Well...
I want to take a break right now.
You want to take a break?
Yeah, okay. Of course. This wouldn't be good radio if we didn't leave them hanging there for a second. And now, after a word from our sponsors...
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil
is made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic, plus it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
Atrantil, Atrantil.
Atrantil.
Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
74% of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad, or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted until my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Rhythm is a dancer. It's a source companion. People feel it everywhere.
Welcome back. We're talking with Brooks Kubik today, revealing that he has been a... Is it appropriate to call you a closet vegan? I guess not. You've been out. You just haven't been talking about it. But you've been a vegan for how many months now? A year.
No, since early August.
Okay. August, September, October, November, December, January. All right. So 6 months, almost 7 months. Seven months. And that's a pretty long time. So you were getting to a point where you were saying then one night, and I didn't think this was going to be a Christmas carol, where the mouse was running through the room. So one night, what happened one night?
Okay. Well, it wasn't at Christmas time. It was at Thanksgiving. And I started having a lot of pain in my right ear and crazy fever, high temperature, sweating, chills, just bad, bad sick. All night long, and this is really unusual because I'm pretty healthy. I don't get sick. And the next morning, my right ear was swollen up like a pumpkin. I mean, it was just huge. And we figured that probably I'd been bitten by a spider on the ear. It's like there's no other reason that it would swell up like that.
Did you see the actual area of the bite? Usually when you get bit by a spider, you get some necrotic tissue. It turns black. It looks like it falls out almost like a scab.
There were places that we thought perhaps
were
a bite site, but it was swollen so big and crazy. It was hard to see.
Right.
I couldn't see anything because, how can you see your ear? And
were you worried that the ear wouldn't go back to normal?
Yeah.
I bet. Yeah. That's the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, if that would have happened to me, I'd be like, oh, damn. I hope this is, like, even when it gets better, I hope it, like, goes back to normal. I don't have, like, a cauliflower ear or something like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, from my wrestling days, I actually have slight thickening in both ears,
okay,
but much more in the right ear, which is the one that swelled up. So, yeah, you know, it looked exactly like a cauliflower ear, like a really badly cauliflower
ear.
Right. And I mean, we were like, what in the world? Don't know, but we need to get this checked out. So, I'd been sick all Friday night. This was a Saturday. It was like, let's go to the urgent care. So we went to an urgent care place. And doctor comes in. He says, what happened to you? And I said, I think I was bit by a spider. And he said, well, you've got a cauliflower ear. And he, you know, looked at Trudy suspiciously, thinking, you know, what did you do? Clock him with a frying pan?
Yeah.
You know, and so anyhow, the only thing to do was to go on a very heavy-duty course of antibiotics, which is something that I don't like to do.
Yeah, but you got sometimes you got no choice. You can't be stubborn and die for your stubbornness. You know what I mean? I'm the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate antibiotics, but when I had the walking pneumonia, the doctor says, if you don't take this, you're going to die.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm going to take it.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if I was going to die or not, but, you know, I was quite sick, and the ear was quite bad, and obviously something had to be done. And so I ended up on a course of antibiotics for 10 days. And something happened, and I'm imagining that you probably have had guests address.
Well, we actually did. You and I talked about this briefly, and I mentioned Dr. Mm-hmm. Chris Masterjohn. But tell the rest of your story, and then I'll inject what Chris said on this show,
which
I think was prolifically insightful. Go ahead.
Okay, so what happened in retrospect was 10 days on antibiotics. Right around the end of November, early December, changed everything. The diet became impossible. Something affected my digestive system. It must have been antibiotics.
It had to be.
Had to be. And I went from thriving on this diet and feeling good and strong and healthy to feeling terrible. And the crazy thing was, as it happened the time before, I got to a place where I was always hungry, but I was having a lot of trouble digesting my food. So the more you ate because you were hungry, the worse you would feel because you were having digestive problems. You're feeling bloated, stuffed, uncomfortable. And
but what about feelings of nausea, dizziness, any brain fog, stiff joints, sore joints, muscle pains that were kind of mysterious that just came out of nowhere? Any of that stuff?
No, just you know, just kind of a
digestive distress.
Digestive distress, and you know, just feeling weak and. Not very energetic, you know, you know, maybe, I don't know, you know, I don't know if it was brain fog or not, you know, maybe it was a bit of an inability to concentrate, maybe
mm-hmm.
maybe that qualifies as brain fog, but
okay.
You know, just being tired and run down. And, you know, I was trying probiotics, which I'd been taking during the course of antibiotics.
Right.
You know, I was trying probiotics. I was eating a lot of nourishing vegetable broths and you know, veggie soups and things, homemade veggie soups. And I was having ginger tea, trying to do everything that I could.
Any GERD? Any heartburn GERD? Any foul taste coming up into the mouth?
No.
Okay.
No. But you know, I just was not feeling good, and I just didn't feel like myself. And
Now, did you intuitively, instinctively say to yourself, it's the diet? And then if so, like, not the diet. Let me rephrase that. Did you intuitively, instinctively say to yourself, the antibiotics have done something and the diet isn't sustainable any longer?
It took about a month.
Wow.
A little over a month.
Wow.
To get to that point, because, you know, first of all, you're on the antibiotics for 10 days, right?
Right.
So obviously, if you're feeling bad, you attribute it to being on the antibiotics. And then if you're feeling bad, you're saying, well, it's because I was just on the antibiotics and, you know, I just need some time to, you know, have a reset.
Right.
And
your body to recover from that. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so it's like, okay, you know, so this is not going to continue. And what happened was, no matter what I did, it wasn't getting any better. It was getting worse. And, you know, I was trying to be stubborn and trying to stick to what I was doing, because I didn't want to say, well, you know, I tried this diet and I couldn't stick to it. So I was trying to stick to it just out of sheer stubbornness. And that was the situation. You know, I was trying to convince myself, yeah, this is working. And a couple of days ago, Trudy said, you know, this isn't working anymore. What has happened? I said, well, I don't know. Let me think about this. And I started thinking, and it was like, those antibiotics really did change everything. And they affected my ability to tolerate, to derive nourishment from a vegetable-based diet.
Now, this is where I want to throw something in. So Chris Masterjohn was on my show last year for some reason. I don't remember the topic, to be honest with you. It may have been the vegan diet. But anyway, no, it wasn't, because he injected a comment during the discussion that made me go off on a little bit of a tangent with him. And he said something to the effect of, and I'm paraphrasing, the numbers are probably wrong. Mm-hmm. If you're the 1% of the population that has very efficient microbiome, that you can extract every bit of nutrition out of vegetables and you can survive,
mm-hmm.
then the vegan diet is okay for you, with some supplementation. And he said that. And
mm-hmm.
and so what he said then is exactly, so before the antibiotics, your microbiome was good.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to handle mm-hmm. that food and you were able to survive on it and you felt good. But then after you killed certain microbes that were doing a lot of work, and see, here's the interesting thing. It's always, this is the way it is in life anyway. The microbes that predispose us to being lean and energy and burning more energy and creating more energy, they are the most fragile. When you do antibiotics, those are the ones that get blasted first. The really crappy ones, the Bacteroidetes, I guess it is, Firmicutes make you lean, Bacteroidetes make you fat. I forget how it goes, but they're robust. They're like the ha 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 antibiotic. We're not afraid of you. And those are the ones that survive. The ones you don't want, they're the ones that are evolutionarily stronger.
They're like cockroaches.
Yes. Yes. Okay, we have to take a break, because now I want to come back to one. Now, so now you've had the epiphany. You realize, uh-oh, I can't do this any longer.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first meal that you use to break coming off the diet? Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Brooks Kubik.
Mm-hmm. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Keto Kana banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
So what do you do when you're a working class human, like Brooks and I, and you thrive on animal protein? You know the taste of animal protein. You've tasted blood before, and you've just gone 7 months without any of it. And on top of that, your vegan diet kind of turned against you because of the use of antibiotics to treat a possible ear infection from a spider bite. And so now you're sitting there and you're going, well, I guess I have to stop eating this way, right? I mean, was that the next step?
It was a couple of days of saying, okay, wait a minute. What's changed? Let's go back. Let's think it through. realizing it must have been the antibiotics, then now what? Okay, and I'm going back and forth thinking about this. And I was working, and it was funny because you and I were going to do a show, and I was going to talk about being on a vegan diet.
And how wonderful right. It was. It was like you. We were going to say, this was going to be a game changer. People were going to go, let me get this straight. Brooks Kubik, Dinosaur Training, is eating vegan and thriving. Maybe I need to take a second look at the vegan diet. That was the plan.
Well, the plan was to talk about how I'm doing a vegan diet differently than
right.
before, and it's working much better.
Right.
Okay. And so meanwhile, I'm thinking, you know, I'm not sure this is working so well. And, you know, we've got about a week before the show, so I'm like, well, this is a bit of a conundrum. Okay. And then I was working on my Dinosaur Files newsletter. And I was working on, I was putting in something from one of my readers, a 58-year-old guy who's been doing, pretty serious powerlifting workouts for about 30 years. And he ended up with osteopenia, which you would think is really unusual for a 58-year-old man with 30 years of powerlifting under his belt. You know, and, you know, serious heavy-duty, heavyweight powerlifting, you would think that would thicken the bones. And his doctor found that the problem was celiac disease. And because of the celiac disease, he was losing calcium. Number one, he was not assimilating or metabolizing all of the minerals that he needed for bone growth. And he was probably losing more calcium from his bones than he otherwise would have. And so here he is with brittle bones, even though he's been doing 30 years of powerlifting. And I thought, well, you know, that's an interesting thing. Guys need to think about that. And then I stopped and I made lunch. And I had a nice vegetable stew, homemade vegetable stew, with a cup of barley, okay, cooked barley. And I thought I was going to die afterwards. Stomach was just so bloated. It was so painful and just felt horrible. And I went back to work after lunch. I said, man, this is no fun. And I'm sitting, working on proofreading what I'd been writing about this guy and the celiac disease, and I thought, holy mackerel, I'm having something similar, maybe not celiac disease, but it's some kind of problem with the barley. And I know it's the barley because I had the same vegetable stew the night before, and it was fine, but I didn't have any grains with it, and now I had a cup of grains with it for lunch, and I'm really responding negatively to the grains. What's going on? And I started to rethink the whole thing. I said, you know what? Before the course of antibiotics, I could have barley. I could even have whole wheat, and I was okay, and I can't do it now. Something has completely flipped. It's completely changed, and there's no way that I can continue on this diet without eating grains because there's just not enough food. There's not enough ways to get calories. I said, okay, this is not going to work. So Trudy got off work about 3 o'clock, called to say, hey, I'm on the way home. Do you want me to stop at the grocery store, pick anything up? And I said, funny you would mention that.
Yeah.
Why don't you pick me up and let's do a little bit of shopping? So that dinner was the first non-vegan dinner that I'd had since earlier mid-August. And it was very simple. It was a lot of vegetables. I had
with meat
baked winter veggies. Mm-hmm. And had those cooked them a little bit differently. I used some olive oil to cook them, and put some butter on also, and so that was different. And then I just had half a pound of ground beef.
Sounds good.
You know, nothing fancy, nothing.
No grains in it.
Yeah, and no grains. And I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Obviously, I'm now having trouble with grains. Don't know why, but I don't need them, don't want them, and it's easy to not have them. So I dropped those.
So, part of the reason that glyphosate is under attack right now by the people who are really looking at the science is that it creates gut permeability that allows gluten in. Gluten wasn't a problem until glyphosate. They can show that now, right? Okay. So with that being said, glyphosate is a mild antimicrobial, weak antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a patent owned partially by Monsanto and another company to mix amoxicillin with glyphosate as an antibiotic regimen for certain antibiotic-resistant infections and diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So I say this because antibiotics do things to the stomach that increase gut permeability. Whenever gut permeability goes up, grains seem to cause havoc in the human body. And there's something else that needs to be said here.
Mm-hmm.
I am not against the vegan diet. In fact, I've toyed with the idea of going vegan for a couple weeks at a time here and there, kind of the way I intermittent fast.
Mm-hmm.
I would never, ever consider living a vegan diet because I know from an evolutionary perspective, it doesn't make any sense for human beings. B12 being one of the indicators. We would not need B12 and have made it for the past million years because there were no GNCs or vitamin shoppies back then to buy a B12 supplement. So we have to eat some amount of meat, some amount of eggs, some amount of whatever it is, animal protein that we select in our diet. It has to be present. Creatine is another one. You know, you can get creatine from your diet or you can make it. When you make it yourself, it actually increases heart attack risk markers, inflammatory markers. When you supplement with creatine, homocysteine drops out. Homocysteine is a spin-off byproduct of the process of the body making creatine. Homocysteine is an independent marker for heart disease. If you supplement with creatine, you can actually bring your homocysteine levels down to nil. And the only other thing that I would offer is this. Again, I am not opposed to the vegan diet. I think there is a place for it, actually. I really do. I will be planning on experimenting with it. And I've been thinking about it for a while now, just kind of give my gut a little a change of pace. But there are 350,000 plant species in this world, and only about 65,000 of those species are actually edible by humans, and we only cultivate about 140, 150 of them. Short of eating the poison gland in a rattlesnake's head or a pufferfish, there is virtually zero animal protein on the planet that is poisonous. So from an evolutionary perspective, as we went through this journey for millions of years, it took – so there's 270,000 plant species that are poisonous and not edible for humans. That's a lot of dead grogs and a lot of dead ogs. Hey, what did Grog eat? That thing over there. Oh, don't eat it because he died. You know, we experimented a lot to whittle it down to 80,000 species that we can eat. With animals, it wasn't that problem. You killed an elk, you ate it, and nobody died. So, you know, I think the vegan diet has a place. I think, quite frankly, I applaud you for what you did. But I sincerely believe at some point in time in the future, you would have realized that, you know, meat's not hurting me, and I'll incorporate it back into my diet. I'd like to believe that. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think?
I think it probably would have happened like the last time I did it, where it seemed okay at first, and then there was a gradual decline.
Yeah.
You know, as you use up your B12 stores, use up your creatine stores, you know, et cetera. But the thing that was just amazing this time was the dramatic shift after the course of antibiotics.
What does that say about antibiotics, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, holy mackerel, because this was just a very dramatic thing. And I, you know, I think it goes to the point that you made earlier, which is some people have a digestive system for whatever reason. There's something in their gut bacteria, their gut flora is such that they can do well on a predominantly or wholly plant-based food diet. Other people find it difficult or perhaps even impossible
right.
to do that.
Right.
And, you know, the interesting thing, I have so many readers around the world who are serious strength and health and fitness people of all ages, men and women. And I have readers who are, you know, carnivores. I have readers who are vegetarians, lacto-ovo-vegetarians, or lacto-vegetarians, or ovo-vegetarians, or pescatarians, in that they eat fish, but not other types of meat.
You know any Presbyterians? Any Presbyterians?
I probably have Presbyterians. And I have vegans. And all of them... And I have people who tried one, and they said, you know, this worked fine, but then I changed to this, or I did such and so, and it was okay, but then I went to such and so. So we have a lot of people who are doing what I was doing, which is experimenting and seeing for themselves what works, as opposed to, you know, reading about it or hearing about it and thinking, well, you know, this obviously doesn't work, or, you know, it's the best thing in the world or whatever, just because of what other people report. So, I have a lot of people who have done well on a vegetarian or vegan diet, usually a vegetarian diet, which is much, much easier to handle.
Some of the longest. So here's what I don't like about the vegetarian diet.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at food calorically, you'd, on one side, if you had 2,000 calories of vegetables on one side and you had 2,000 calories of red meat on the other side, the vegetables would displace a much larger area to equal that 2,000 calories than, say, a nice-sized steak.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. I believe that the way we're supposed to eat is to eat lots of vegetables and lots of animal protein together. You know, not necessarily at the same meal, but in the same diet. I mean, if you want to have a salad right now and then later you're going to have a steak by itself, that's okay. But why do we call it a vegetarian diet when you look at it calorically, it's probably more animal protein than vegetables if you're eating eggs and fish and cheese? And the reason I ask this question is because is it because we believe that the vegetables give us greater health, so we have to emphasize to make sure that they're in the diet? Or is it because we are so opposed to the realization that we need to eat animals to survive and thrive as a species? And we don't want it like the vampires. We don't want to admit that that's the way it is. Because the reality is it's not a vegetarian diet. It's an equally balanced animal protein and vegetable diet.
I don't know the origin of the term vegetarian. I assume that would probably be partially responsible, you know, would partially answer that. But you know, your point is absolutely correct that the difference between a vegan diet and a vegetarian diet is that if you're eating eggs and dairy products, you're getting a lot of calories from those.
Yes.
If you're following a vegan diet, you're not getting those calories, and it's really, really hard to replace them.
Right.
If you are eating a mixed food diet that includes meat, eggs, I had eggs for breakfast. You know, if you're eating a diet like that, you can get a lot more calories with much less bulk.
Yes. The article that came out of the Wennergren Foundation 6 years ago and keeps recirculating around the internet is about how when our brains got bigger when we started mm-hmm. eating meat. But that was put together by world-noted anthropologists who made the observation that when Australopithecus gracile started to eat meat, their guts got smaller, their jaws got narrower, their brains got bigger. And it's undeniable. It's not like as though you could go, oh, well, you know, no, this was before marketing. This was before you didn't need a diary. What was available in the jungle was what was available in the jungle, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this notion that we don't need meat, and there are people out there who say that humans are not designed to eat meat. They're crazy. Take the GNC card away from a vegan. He'll be dead in a year. No B12. No, you can't supplement with anything. If you can't get it in your diet, too bad. They all will die of nutrient deficiencies. They absolutely will. So the diet is unsustainable. No one can argue with me. I will not accept anybody's argument that the diet is not unsustainable. Even the vegans who have robust, efficient microbiomes that can extract everything out of plants, they can't get B12 out of a plant. I'm sorry. And they can't get hemi iron out of a plant, the one iron that actually makes it into the body. That's why all vegans end up with anemic symptoms. So in my humble opinion, we have to stop this fight. We just have to stop it. Because the reality is that humans evolved to be omnivorous. We are creatures of opportunity. That is why we are top of the food chain, yo. Because we're hybrids. We can eat everything. If we had to, we'd probably be able to eat cardboard and evolve over a million years. That it would be like grain. People would be like, oh, yeah, cardboard's good. I'll have a piece of bread made out of cardboard. Yeah. Anyway, I want to take one last commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk about something. I want to talk about the peripheral discussion about what happened to you when your food stopped being digested. The term is called metabolic endotoxemia. And it's important that I'm going to start banging the drum of metabolic endotoxemia as often as possible, because I want everyone in this audience to get it through their head that there are times that the food you eat is actually going to poison you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to attack your joints, attack your thyroid. When we talk about autoimmune disorders, we talk about this kind of big, broad stroke term. But ultimately, what causes all of the damage to the body, what causes all of the deleterious side effects of autoimmune disorders is metabolic endotoxemia. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
If you followed my
transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then train fasted and remain fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. Brooks, plug your website, please. BrooksCubic.com. What can people find there?
www.BrooksCubic.com.
They can find books and new. They can sign up for your newsletter, right?
They can sign up for the Dinosaur Files newsletter. We've got books. We've got courses. We've got links to all of my Kindle ebooks. You know, we've got like 25 books on Kindle now. You know, just a ton of material. And, of course, I've got the Instagram account as well. You know, again, that's Brooks Cubic. I'm on Facebook. We've got the Dinosaur Training blog where I post blog posts every day. There's a lot of material out there and a lot of good information. And a lot of experimentation has gone into those. You know, I have used that word a number of times, but it's important for people to understand that at age 61, I've done a lot of different things over the course of my life from a training perspective, as well as a diet and nutrition perspective, as I, you know, did with this diet, which was primarily an experiment, a interested to see what happens, let's see what happens type thing. And some things work and some things don't.
So when you experience this gut-wrenching discomfort from eating barley, and you started to realize you put the information from the reader who submitted a comment or question and you were working on that,
mm-hmm.
you started to connect dots. Metabolic endotoxemia is the name of a condition where gut permeability leads to stuff getting out of the stomach and into the bloodstream before it can be prepared. Your gut prepares stuff to be introduced into the bloodstream. And if it's introduced too soon, it's actually like metabolic debris. The immune system looks at it and goes, wow, you know, what is that? We better go get it before it does some damage, because it will do damage. Lipopolysaccharides are some of the problem offenders in metabolic endotoxemia, but I predict that there's a lot more, because we've never seen a population with this problem to the degree that we have today. I'm willing to bet that 70% of the population suffers from some form of metabolic endotoxemia. I can assure you that anybody who has fibromyalgia does, Hashimoto's disease does, rheumatoid arthritis, they do. The list goes on and on, right? Multiple sclerosis, they do. Metabolic endotoxemia is metabolic debris getting into the bloodstream. That's really the simplest term to put it. And depending on which endotoxins are making it into your blood and the target, they seem to have... These different endotoxins seem to be attracted to different tissue in the body. And when they're attracted to that tissue, they irritate it. They cause inflammation. They cause it to die off or become inflamed and grow. And like in rheumatoid arthritis, the metabolic endotoxins, they end up in the joints. And we know this is true, because I did a show a couple years ago that showed that it wasn't the weight of the obese person that was causing their arthritis. It was the sheer amount of inflammation in their body. And these metabolic endotoxins, they cause inflammation, because inflammation is part of the repair system. And wherever they happen to dock, that's where the inflammation goes. So if they dock in your joints, then you've got some form of arthritis. If they dock in your thyroid, you're going to end up with Hashimoto's disease. If they dock in your adrenals, you've got Addison's. If they happen to make it to your brain, then you're going to end up with something else like multiple sclerosis or maybe even ALS. And these metabolic endotoxins are a result of the food you feed your microbes. If you're eating foods that bloat you, that make you uncomfortable, that cause any kind of distress, and most of us have ignored the stomach distress for so long, thanks to idiots like Larry the Cable Guy, who likes to say, when the food you love doesn't love you, take Nexium. No, you idiot. When the food you love doesn't love you, don't eat that food. It doesn't love you. It wants to hurt you. And these metabolic endotoxins are at the root cause of many of the diseases. Stephen Lay put it best. Stephen Lay listens to the show. He lives in the Northeast, where you want to move. The Northwest. I'm sorry, Northwest, where you want to move. He said until he figured out what in his diet was causing these problems, he would suspiciously have aches and pains someday where his muscles would feel so stiff. And then he put it together that when he ate such and such on a Monday, by Tuesday and Wednesday, he was so stiff. And when he eliminated that food from his diet, his stiffness problems went away. And you can't go to your doctor and talk about this. Because if it's not a code on his chart that they can bill you for, or a drug they can write a prescription for, he's going to scratch his head and say, I got nothing for you. So people have to become aware that especially the American population, our guts are being destroyed. And the end product is disease states that will rob you of the last third or even half of your life. Some people sooner. I know people who have already shown up
autoimmune disorder type symptoms at 19 and 20 years old. But their bodies are young enough, and reproductive fitness is pushing hard, and so it's holding off the damage. But once they start hitting 30, because by then you should have reproduced. Okay, we're done with you. Because remember, we put all this meaning on life, but at the end of the day, we're just another species on the planet, like deers and dogs and catfish. So, metabolic endotoxemia, learn the word, look it up, read about it, and learn what foods are causing you to be intoxicated, and eliminate those foods, maybe not forever, until your microbes change. What do you think about that, Brooks?
Well, I completely agree with that, and you need to be very aware of what you are eating and the effect of the food that you are eating. And, you know, ideally, you should cook your own meals.
Yes.
So that you control the ingredients and you know what's going in your food. And if something is not working, you ought to be able to sit to go through the ingredients in that meal and figure out what was it that caused a problem. You know, and now if you go to a restaurant and you have you don't feel good afterwards, you don't really know what made you sick.
Right. Especially if it's like the IgG immune system where you don't notice it for a day or two.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like at that point, it's kind of like, you know, you've got no chance.
Right.
And similarly, if you're living on a diet of refined foods, if all you're doing is heating something up or warming something up,
or God forbid, warming it up in the microwave in plastic. If you're doing that, I'm sorry.
Well, and hopefully no one who listens to the show is doing that. But the point is, if you really don't know what's in your food, identifying the possible or the probable cause of something is very difficult. Yeah. Contrast that to what I was able to do. It was that one meal with the barley, and I said, wait a minute, the only difference from dinner last night, which was fine, is that I had literally one cup, because I measured it, one cup of cooked barley. And there was an immediate reaction, and it was like, okay, it's got to be the barley. So that made the detective work, you know,
easy.
Fairly quick and obvious. But, you know, everybody should be very much aware of these issues and, you know, really keeping an eye on them both for their own health and for the health of their family.
And no matter what diet you're on, keto, vegan, vegetarian, paleo, if it starts causing problems for you, stop eating that way. Don't be stupid. You know, I see people on these keto diet boards, and the women are going, I've been doing keto for 6 months. I've only lost 10 pounds. My hair is thinning. My eyebrows are thinning. I've got really, really bad, sore, dry skin everywhere. And they tell her, oh, increase your fat. No, you fool. Get off that diet. It's not working for you.
Well, there's that point, and that kind of ties into the whole tribe mentality associated with diets and nutrition in the
U.S. Yes.
And to some degree associated with training, but we have this tribe mentality. You know, you have people that you like who follow a particular diet or teach it or espouse it. And you think, well, I'm going to follow that diet because so and so says it's good, or so and so wrote a book that I like, or so and so does it, and I think so and so is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I guess I'm mixing my metaphors there. I don't mean to do that, but you know, the point is, people are doing things because of what other people are doing, and then it becomes a tribe thing, and you've got, you know, carnivores in one corner, paleo people in one corner, low-carb people in another corner, vegans over here, vegetarians over here, and, you know, and all of them then split into groups. You know, it's like, who's the most paleo of the paleo? Who's the true low-carb guru? Who's the true vegan guru? Or you know, whatever. And everybody has these little turf wars, and they're just amazingly hostile to one another. And one of the problems is when you're part of a tribe, you do what the tribe does, even if it's not working for you. And that's unfortunate, and it's a real problem.
Yeah, I agree. I actually made a note to myself. You should not choose a diet because it's a fad. And understand this, that the American government knows nothing about what's healthy and what's not healthy to eat. They don't know. And they only make policy based on the crops that they subsidize. Let's be honest. So why would you take advice from an organization that has a vested interest in you eating the foods that they have their money invested? You're not that stupid. So you should not choose a diet like it's a fad. Oh, all my girlfriends are wearing bell-bottom jeans. I think I'll wear bell-bottom jeans. That's okay. But a diet can make you sick and kill you, or make you thrive and make you live longer. And if you're doing a diet because it's a fad, what if tomorrow's fad was, hey, let's just start taking blood pressure meds, even though we don't need them. Yeah, I'm gonna go get a prescription for blood pressure meds. I'm just gonna start taking it. I don't need them, because that so and so's doing. That's how stupid it is to eat a diet that's not working for you because your friend, who happens to belong to PETA, says, "Oh, you've got to be a vegan." No, you don't have to be a vegan. It may not be good for you. Would we feed our dogs, you know, wood shavings because termites can eat wood shavings? Oh, the new thing is get a dog and feed it wood shavings. No, you wouldn't do that to your dog. In fact, some organization would come out and have you put in jail. But yet we can make people eat things that make them sick. And then we just blame illness on, well, you're getting older. It's going to happen anyway. Uh-uh. No, that's not true. Just because you're getting older doesn't mean you have to get sick. But we believe that today. And that's part of the problem. Let's wrap it up, Brooke. So what do you want people to know about this diet experiment?
Well, it was something that was worth doing and something that I learned from. For one thing, I learned that if you're on a course of antibiotics, you really have to pay attention to your diet and nutrition and your health and be very aware of what the antibiotics can do.
Yeah. Antibiotics,
and again,
yeah.
You know, there are times when you need them, but boy, they are powerful drugs, and they can have effects that the doctors really don't know about, that nobody knows about. So that's one thing. The other thing was, I've decided that having tried this diet twice, once at age 50 and once at age 60, you know, I've done my experimentation, and I don't need to do this again, and I'm not going to. I know what the answer is for me, and there may be people out there who do well on this diet. It doesn't work for me. Not going to do it. Conceivably, I could do better on a vegetarian diet, a lacto-ovo-vegetarian diet, but I'm betting, based on my experience with different diets, that what I do best on is a diet that includes meat.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I'm going back to that diet, and I'm going to stick with it. And, you know, when Trudy and I are up in the Pacific Northwest, I'm going to have to, you know, find some people who raise grass-fed beef, which I don't think is going to be too hard to do. And if I don't do that, I'm probably going to have to start hunting and fishing.
So there's a good book out there. For those of you who want to understand antibiotics have saved a lot of lives, but their overuse has hurt our population. If you want to read about that, the book is called Missing Microbes. It's by Martin Blaser. He was on the show in 2014. I read the book twice. If you read Missing Microbes, you'll want to bring it to your pediatrician
and have them read it before they treat your child. I promise you. I promise you. The first thing you're going to do while you're reading it is go, oh, God, I've got to give this book to Dr. So-and-so. Look, every round they give your child makes them weaker for other things. We're going to end it there.
Wow.
Thanks,
that's,
Brooke.
That's good information, Carl.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks for having me on.
See you tomorrow, everybody. Bye.
Take care.